You just heard brand new music from Ofra Harnoy, the wonderful award-winning Israeli-Canadian cellist, and we're playing that for very good reason. She's here with me for the rest of the hour. You're with The Oasis on the new Classical FM. My name is Mark Wigmore. Let's get to our daily look at arts and culture. Heard right, Order of Canada recipient, multiple Juno Award winner, and international classical superstar Ofra Harnoy is here. She has established herself as one of the greatest cellists in the world, playing to critical acclaim at Carnegie Hall, joining the RCA Victor Red Seal label over 30 years ago, and playing for royalty and political leaders around the globe. She moved from Israel to Canada when she was 6 and made her professional debut just 4 years later. That's right, at 10. Since then, she's recorded over 40 albums and has worked with greats like Sir Charles Mackerras, Anton Querty, Sting, and Lorena McKennitt. But there was a time when the world wasn't sure it would see Ofra on stage again. A career-threatening shoulder condition severely affected her ability to play for years. But a regimen created by top experts has put her back on the stage and into the recording studio. Her latest is Back to Bach, featuring tried-and-true Baroque favorites and lesser-known gems. It's my pleasure to have the great Ofra Harnoy in the Classical FM studios. Welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
Really wonderful to meet you. And first off, congrats. I understand just married. Did I hear that right? A nice June wedding?
June 1st in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
You go near like a nice one of those colorful houses or something like that? Or where did you go?
No, we actually bought a house.
Okay.
And it's our oasis, and we got married in the house. And,
how lovely.
It's kind of an all-inclusive oasis recording studio home. It's where we are between tours and between running around all over the world.
So that's going to be home. Pretty much.
Okay. I mean, I do spend a lot of time in Toronto.
Sure. When you look back at being 6 years old, we were just talking about this before we went on the air, learning the instrument, what were your first impressions of the sound and the feel and the textures and the colors of the cello? What was attractive to you about that?
Well, somehow the cello is so much like a human voice, and it felt like my voice. It right. felt like something that I could express any emotion with, all the subtleties of what the instrument can do on the higher register and the lower register. So I had the impression even as a child that it was like the instrument was part of my body, and my arms and legs were coming out of it as part of my soul and part of my body. I know that sounds weird.
Well, no, I don't think it sounds weird at all. In fact, I was thinking as I've been listening to your music over the last few days, I'm just thinking it really feels like it's just this other limb, you know,
yes,
that's part of you in so many ways. It was such a busy time when you were that age, immigrating to Canada, learning the instrument alongside your father and your teachers. Do you think about all the hustle and bustle, you know, performing at 10, or what is the memory of that time?
Well, the first time I performed as soloist with an orchestra was at 10. And the biggest memory of those, it was two nights
yeah.
with Dr. Boyd Neal conducting, was that I didn't know I was supposed to be nervous. And it was also on those two nights that I discovered that when I close my eyes, the music seems more real and yeah. I can communicate even more with the audience. So those two things stand out from those nights.
Blissful youth.
Yes.
We'll say that for sure. And then beyond that, though, maybe you've been able to hang on to that magical feeling, closing your eyes.
Yes,
all these,
yes,
you
absolutely.
Know, these years later. When was the moment you knew it would be the focus of your life? Because sometimes I think you build towards that moment, or sometimes it's just you have an epiphany.
I think it was kind of an organic thing. It just happened as I grew up. It was always a part of me, a part of my soul, being able to make music. And actually, that really hit me hard when I wasn't able to make music after my shoulder injury. And I remember expressing it as if, you know, I couldn't breathe. If you can't make music, it's like you're cut off from breathing.
Even just reading articles about that time in your life, I was felt very anxious reading about it. I mean, I know you were, you know, playing just a couple minutes a day and then having to build on that.
Yes.
And
yes.
It must have been a sort of a cautionary tale, too. Anybody who plays an instrument or uses a lot of the same muscles over
yes,
and over again.
Absolutely.
You have
and
to be
I've
careful.
Learned a lot. I mean, I wish that was part of my education, how to preserve my muscles. muscles and how to work the counter muscles to support the muscles that are overworking. But now I've learned a lot, and even in my my big comeback concert, at the end of the concert, I felt like I could get back on stage and do the whole thing all over again because that I felt so strong.
That was the Mervis show, is that
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes, I felt so strong and so in control and you know, ready to keep going.
Are there, I mean, that's such a proud moment, but are there proud moments that flood your memory when you think of the recordings and the performances, the awards? There's so many special moments in this career.
Well, I mean, it's...
That's a good one, the Mervish one.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But I mean, my entire life was devoted to... most of my life was touring 10 out of 12 months of the year, so it was...
hard to pick one or two, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm very self-critical, so I mean, I always look for the magic combination of the audience holding their breath at the right time and the acoustics of the hall and everything happening exactly the way you envision it. So I hold myself to a very high standard.
Does that happen very often?
I would say maybe a handful
right.
of times that I was perfectly happy.
It's interesting, yeah. right? Because yeah. it's so often that that's your perception, but the audience feels, you know, something else. Or once in a blue moon, it all comes together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Afra Harnoy is my guest this afternoon. We're going to dig into the vault of her recordings, and then in about 10 minutes, we'll really break open the new record, Back to Bach, and you're with the New Classical FM show. We play Free as a Bird. I know you're going to include this.
Yes, it's funny that you selected that, because that's being included in our upcoming tours.
And this is a record that the Beatles put together with, you know, sort of when they came back together in the 90s. And it's a beautiful song. It's let's hear it, Afra Harnoy. The music of cellist Afra Harnoy. You heard her performing The Beatles' Free as a Bird. And you were just mentioning kind of a special arrangement there.
Yes, yes. I got to work with Doug Riley again. And
Dr. Music.
Dr. Music. Yeah, I've loved all my collaborations with him. He was such an incredible musician and arranger.
The late, the great. We miss him. We're going to listen to more music, specifically from Back to Bach, in just moments. And Afra's here with me in studio, 23 degrees in Toronto, and Coburg 20. Wonderful mix of brass with the cello there, Handel's Sonata for Cello. Brand new music from Afra Harnoy. The album is titled Back to Bach, and it signals the turning of a page for the cello superstar. Afra is a Order of Canada recipient, a multiple Juno Award winner, and a treasure within the classical world, playing on the greatest stages all around the globe and recording over 40 records. She's back with me now right here on the new Classical FM. Afra, welcome back.
Thank you.
Fun to hear this record. Why Back to Bach? Tell me what that title is all about.
Well, we got together with Anelecta and we were thinking, you know, the next few albums. And I really wanted to go back to some of the Baroque things that I'd recorded maybe as a 15 or 16-year-old, but bring a whole new twist to it. And we had the idea to create an organ sound using brass instruments. And Mike Harriott, my husband.
Mm-hmm. And your producer.
And my producer, yeah. And my arranger. He plays all the brass tracks. And it's so rich. I mean, the subtleties of all these instruments and the way it colors and works well with the sound of the cello. We're super excited about the outcome. I mean, it exceeded our expectations.
I love the idea, too, that you know the repertoire from those years.
Yes.
But you get this opportunity to revisit it and, you know, reimagine how it's going to sound on a brand new record.
Yes, yes. And then I had the idea of doing multi-tracking with the cello and, the interplay of the two of the different sounds. It's fantastic.
Right. So we actually get to hear you playing with you. Over and over and over again. Is that the idea? How many?
Well, one of the pieces is the Telemann Canonic Duets, and I get to do an interplay with the other cello part, which is really, I mean, it's something I've never done before, and
really?
It's a lot of fun because I've played this work with other people.
Sure.
But, you know, kind of to have the responsibility to create a slightly different cellist.
It's so funny.
to play with it.
I mean, you have that when you're playing with another cellist, you're looking at them.
They kind of have to intuit what you want to do.
That's right.
But now I'm kind of doing that with myself.
And so you just have to use your ears and really.
And then when I want to, I've loved this piece, the Miserere by Allegri. It's something I've heard for many years done in a choral setting. And I thought that would sound amazing with all the voices playing the cello.
Right.
And that is just amazing. I mean, it was a challenging experience for me because I'd never done that, and working with headphones and kind of having to listen to myself in a different way, and then kind of layering the cellos one on top of the other. But it was very exciting.
And you have a home in Newfoundland, and you recorded this all in Newfoundland.
Yes, we have a recording studio in our home in St. John's, and. And we got to explore and experiment and a lot of kind of innovative things that happened spontaneous. I mean, we were planning to record the Corelli Sonata with a harpsichord, but the harpsichord that was delivered to us ended up being terrible. So we had 6 days left to finish the album. And I suddenly said, well, why don't we do a kind of string quartet or quintet to accompany myself with the Corelli Sonata?
You're getting into some Abbey Road type experimentation there, my goodness.
And then came the challenge that I wanted to play the violin part like a violin,
right.
And then the viola part like a viola, and so on. And that brought me to whole different levels of experimenting with sound. And it's very exciting.
And you have such a wonderful character and tone, and we love what you do. And so to hear it with these new arrangements and these new ideas, it's just very special. I'm sure you feel like this is a special moment in your recording career. So congratulations.
Thank you very much,
Mark. So many different pieces to explore. I'll let you know the new album is Back to Bach, and September 6th, Everywhere You Find Music. And just announced, Afra will perform November 30th, 7:30 p.m. at St. Mark's Anglican Church in Niagara-on-the-Lake, bravoniagara.org for tickets. Public on sale today, by the way. So I just wanted to mention that we're looking forward to that concert.
Great.
In the Niagara region.
Mark.
What a treat to meet you and spend time with you today. Congratulations again.
Thank you.